This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So I spend all my time doing that. But I used to play a high elf paladin. I used to have this awesome kit, really nice armor and big elven ears. And even though I've got long hair, I used to have a long flowing white wig and have loads of makeup on before I had the beard, and used to walk around pretending I was like an elf from Lord of the Rings. And I used to love it. And my best friend in it was a dwarf. And, you know, and we all went off on adventures, kind of, you know, like as an elf and a dwarf going off doing things and fighting back to back and having a great time doing that. So much so, we ended up with our own little Facebook page about it. So it's really stupid, but it's so much fun.
It's fun. I mean,
hey, good morning. This is Arvind Yuvraj, and I'm speaking with Max Bracey, founder of the Viking Store, a brick-and-mortar setup in London that is famous for selling an impressive catalog of Viking costumes, accessories, and replica weaponry. That being said, most of Max's orders happen online, and the store has gained significant popularity with the rise of medieval influences in pop culture and entertainment, such as Game of Thrones and the show Vikings on the History Channel.
Exactly, and also it's really good for kids because it helps them get out their anger, but in a rational, logical way. So yeah, it's really popular in Denmark. So live-action role-play, going back to that a bit, rather than my personal experience, it's the second biggest hobby in Denmark. So the first biggest hobby for kids is football, soccer. Second is LARP. And the reason why is because kids get to go to a weekend, dress up like an orc, dress up like a human or an elf or a dwarf, and they get their anger out in a responsible, controlled fashion. So they're swinging these live-action role-play swords that are made of foam with a fiberglass core that are totally safe, that don't hurt you like a real steel sword do. And they swing them around, and they fight, and they can swing with it. So they get it out in a constructive fashion, but also they learn consequences. They learn the consequences of their actions. If they're a thief, if they act dishonorable and stuff, they can get caught and so on. And they learn about that. But they also learn about things like teamwork and cooperation. And it's been so successful in Denmark that the Crime Prevention Council did a study on live action role play and said that it was fantastic for children, let alone adults. But it was fantastic for children because it allowed their creativity to flow. It got their anger out in a responsible and a constructive fashion. But as well as that, it allowed their imaginations to blossom, and it kept vulnerable children who were potentially possible to go into crime away from crime as a teenager or as an adult, because they carried on doing live-action role-play instead.
Max isn't just a store owner either. His love for all things Viking made him an expert at Viking lore and history, and he's also into sword fighting and battle tactics, so much so that he has served as a consultant on documentaries and film projects depicting Viking culture or characters. Join me over the next 30 minutes as I talk to Max about Viking legend, the business of running a store that sells medieval merchandise, a thing called live-action roleplay or LARP, as well as Viking culture depicted in Hollywood. You're listening to Open for Business, and this week on Going Global, we're getting medieval all the way in London. I like to start my interviews with a human story, with a human touch. So who are you, Max Bracey, or Maximus von Bracey, and what draws you to Viking legend and history?
Okay, so long story short, I basically run steel mixed martial arts classes. So I run Viking Age steel combat classes aside from this, I started doing that, which is reenactment. From there, started developing my skills and using swords and axes and things like that, and grew. But while I was studying, while I was doing that as a kind of a hobby, I studied law at university, and I got nearly through it, and I kind of got fed up with it. I really wasn't happy. I wasn't enjoying my studies, and I was
working in e-commerce and so on for a while for my father's company. So I started taking all my hobbies and my interests and sat there one day and went, right, what do I want to do for myself as a career? How am I going to build a future for myself? What do I want to do as a business? Do I even want to run a business? Let's put this all together. Mm-hmm. Let's put my love for Vikings. Let's put my interest in business through my family businesses and stuff like that. And my knowledge in e-commerce and so on. What do we get at the end of it? And I just thought, right, the Viking store. Okay, let's build a Viking store. And then essentially from there it grew and it developed and it developed and it is where we are now.
And what is it about the Viking culture that fascinates you? I mean, what makes you want to indulge in that culture and their history so much?
Okay, so good question. Okay, I'm going to think about this one. I think I enjoy the mystery of it because if you look through like the medieval ages and you look through a lot of periods and you look through a lot of history, the Vikings did one thing that a lot of cultures didn't. Even if you look at the ancient Greeks and the Romans, and what they did is they wrote things down. Now, the Romans wrote things down. The Greeks wrote things down. So trying to discover how the Vikings lived, how they ate, what they did from day-to-day life is pretty obvious, but accounts of what actually happened in the large battles and things like that, or so many areas and atmospheres, it's completely unknown to us. It's really, really a hard period of history to get a complete 100% certainty on. So it's a bit of an adventure just discovering about the Vikings, you know, what actually happened in this battle, what happened in the Battle of Hastings. We don't actually know. What do we know about these battles that happened in Scandinavia? It's really fun because you really have to kind of look at archaeological evidence and history and really, really get to grips with it. And you kind of have to build your own idea as to how things happened. Surprisingly, not a lot of people know this, but there's a huge Viking cultural scene in Europe and worldwide, in America and all over the world, Australia, New Zealand, where people actually do large-scale battles, competitive fights against each other, and like kind of like martial arts halls all over the world. So there is a kind of like a Viking martial arts, you know, using weapons and spears and axes, growing around the world. It's an odd one, but that's kind of how it started. I was interested in the sword fighting. I thought, oh, wow, this is cool. And then I kind of got interested in the rest of it as well and kind of the Viking culture and so on and the history of it. And it just evolved from there, really, and I learned more and more and more about it.
Now, you call your store the Viking store, but it's not just that, right? I mean, you are really, really into Viking history and culture, and not even on a fantasy basis. I mean, even on a real, legitimate level, to a point where you actually consult documentarians and filmmakers on special projects, right? So could you tell us more about this? Like, what kinds of projects have you worked on as a consultant?
Specifically Vikings, yes. I mean, when it comes to, we've worked on some programs before. There's a program called Ancient Black Ops that we worked on. And when we work on these programs, I do work as a consultant of sorts. So to make sure that the program is going down the right direction when it comes to historical aspects, it's important that these programs at least have some historical accuracy and relevance to them. So when we worked on Ancient Black Ops, or what's known, it's kind of had a name change worldwide, this Ancient Assassins. When we were working on the episode of Harald Hardrada, who was a king of Norway, their researchers were using a lot of our historical knowledge to help them build the script. They already had a kind of script down in principle, but to get elements of the shots right, to make sure that the kit and the research and so on was correct, and that they hadn't just been kind of barking up the wrong tree, as it were, with a lot of their information.
I I'm speaking with Max Bracey, owner of the Viking store, sword fight enthusiast, and expert in Viking history. Do stick around, because when we come back, we'll be talking more about interesting Viking-related topics, open for business, going global. We'll be right back.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
Hey, you're listening to Open for Business, Going Global. I'm Arvind Yuvraj, and I'm having so much fun talking to Max Bracey, owner of the Viking store, about the history of the legendary people, as well as their influence in modern-day pop culture.
It started around the 70s, so it started there. Now, that's not my only business, you know. The Viking store doesn't just make reenactment stuff. We also do horror and all sorts as well. But, it's really, really interesting, the development of the Viking kind of cultural scene. And it started off just with sword fighting, and then it developed into more. You know, people are, with our group, we do survival training weekends where people gather. That we have some people in the group that have military training, that are ex-service military, and so on. And they actually take their knowledge of being in the military and go, right, we're going to go do a survival weekend for the weekend. We're going to show you how to hunt. We're going to show you how to skin animals. We're going to show you how to survive with nothing. And basically live in the forest. And lots of people are really interested in this. People are kind of sharing their knowledge and pooling their knowledge together, and then one person who's a jewellery smith and makes jewellery and knows how to make Viking authentic jewellery says, right, anyone want to come and learn how to make this? So lots of people go over and learn how to do that. So there's a kind of a common sharing pool of knowledge as well. So it's a really, really interesting subculture. It's quite a strange one.
As an expert on Viking culture, right, what is the one popular trope you see on TV or in movies that makes you cringe or annoys you, you know? Like, we had an expert sword fighter in the studio once, and he mentioned how the fights in Lord of the Rings were inaccurate or weren't as good as the ones in Game of Thrones, especially the last season, because they were pretty good. So in that same vein, what is your pet peeve when it comes to things like this in movies and TV, in pop culture, depicting Viking culture and history and characters, you think,
okay,
is completely wrong?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is quite... This is really interesting, actually, that you say that, because just to go over that point, what you said, I actually think that Lord of the Rings has more accuracy than Game of Thrones in a lot of places.
Hmm.
The reason being is we actually know the sword artist or the sword choreographer for Lord of the Rings. He actually, many years ago, he come to our training hall.
I see.
And a lot of the moves that were originally used in Lord of the Rings, like the elves at the beginning battle and so on, were based on simple biomechanics, but he built kind of a martial system behind each kind of culture, particularly the elves versus the humans and so on.
A last alliance of men and elves marched against the armies of Mordor, and on the slopes of Mount Doom, they fought for the freedom of Middle-earth.
I actually thought that Game of Thrones was rather weak with its martial arts until the most recent series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting, East versus West, and this is a pet peeve that I have when I'm watching a lot of these documentaries or a lot of films, is I absolutely love, with Viking age stuff, it's not so often with movies, because there's not been very many Viking movies. I mean, there's been one with... many years ago, and then there's the TV series The Vikings now, but they haven't really hit down on a lot of movies in this area. But I suppose my pet peeve would be there's a lot of Viking B movies out. There's a lot of Viking poor, really cheap run film out that have terrible clothes. They've just kind of just bought items as they go along. They've not really researched it properly. It's more based on the mythology rather than historical accounts. And when you watch it, it looks really cheap. I think that's my pet peeve, is really poor Viking films that are going out, that are just going out straight to DVD. And I'd really like to see something that's, you know, a large budget movie come out.
We've had a spike in medieval influences in pop culture recently. There's Game of Thrones, of course, the most famous one, and then there's Vikings on the History Channel. Then we had Warcraft. It's not so much, but it draws influence from medieval times. How does pop culture, like how does popular culture influence the store, and does it have an effect on the popularity of the Viking store and on sales as well?
I think it's more or less everything. I think if I didn't have it available, there's a huge weight, the huge, huge fact that maybe my shop wouldn't exist. It's very hard to run a business when you don't have all that free promotion. So if I'm selling like the World of Warcraft Lich King sword, which is a sword, a live action role play sword that we sell, obviously it wouldn't exist because the game wouldn't exist, so no one would care for it. But TV series like The Vikings, Thor the movie is another great one, you know, because it's Norse mythology. And all these things, they lend to what we do, because people go, oh, we want to do a party, we want to do a Game of Thrones party, or we're going to get married and I want to do a Game of Thrones wedding, or people for cosplay. Cosplay is huge, you know, I mean, cosplay has developed over the years and become bigger than I ever possibly could have imagined. I remember when it first kind of started in the UK and it was a big thing in Japan, but it was growing over here. Now it's just absolutely humongous. So without these things, I potentially wouldn't exist. So it is really important. I mean, I couldn't put a percentages down on sales, because we also sell to like people that probably would have known about this stuff, or made another, something else would have come up in its stead. But yeah, without this, without Lord of the Rings, without all these kind of cool pop cultures and movies and so on, it really helps us as a business. So when a niche hits like Game of Thrones or the Viking TV series, I'm smiling. I'm thinking, great, this is really going to help us. I'm really pleased with this, because people want drinking horns then, or they want they think of a present and they think, oh no, I'm going to get a Viking helmet because my mate loves the Viking TV series. So I'm going to buy him that for his birthday. But he wouldn't have thought that.
If it wasn't for the show, yeah.
No, and look at 300. We sell like 300 stuff. We've got the license for that. So we've got like a 300 helmet in our shop. And they are expensive, but the other ones that are similar to them, customers will come in and go, oh, I can't afford the 300 helmet, the licensed helmet, because it's too much. But the one next to it that's almost the same but slightly different, that looks fine. I'll grab that for my mate. And they get that. Now, if it wasn't for 300, there's a lot of people wouldn't really care about the ancient Greeks. To be honest with you, like the common man on the street, yeah, I learned about it. He might have learned about it at school. He'd be thinking, oh, I learned about it at school, but I don't care. But, oh, this is my friend's birthday. He loves 300. He dressed up like a 300 character, cosplay-wise. I know. I'm going to get him a 300 helmet. Do you see what I mean? So you can see the thought process in people coming into the shop and buying, or mostly most of our sales are online. 99% of them, and you can see why they're buying, and it's literally pop culture lending us a huge hand, doing us a huge favor.
So apart from all the big stuff, you also have cosplay, and then you have mini events and reenactments, and do you insist that these are done properly and accurately, and why is it important for these to stay true to the culture?
Okay, I'm in two minds about this. As a businessman, I don't care. As a businessman, to be blunt, with most people, they don't care. They just want to survive. And as a business, I'm happy if there's a movie out there that does well by us. And we work with them mutually, or we work with bands. We work with a lot of metal and music bands and so on as well, and do a lot of promotion with them. And some things they do is right, some things they do are wrong. And as a businessman, you can think purely, look, it's never going to be perfect. And they're helping us. You know, why should I complain? And that's great. However, as a culturalist, as someone who loves the Viking history, someone who loves Viking culture and loves this stuff, and loves so many elements, I do like to see things done right. You know, if I'm watching like the Viking TV series and I see the costume that they're wearing and it looks nothing like what the Vikings used to wear, it's completely off target. Nothing like even the accounts of Ragnar Lothbrok. Ragnar Lothbrok in the Viking TV series, in historically what was written down, is a completely different person. They've taken elements of what he did and elements of what other people did and elements of other stuff and kind of mishmashed it all together. And for me, when I watch that, and a lot of Viking reenactors and archaeologists and historians, they watch the Vikings and roll their eyes and go, oh God, Fox is at it again. They're just making it up as they go along, you know, and they kind of have a very negative view about it. However, I tend to sit in the middle and go, yeah, there's a negative, okay, I've got a bit of a negative view about it with that, but I've got a positive review, because without this, and a positive view of this is, without this, the Viking culture, Vikings wouldn't be as known about. It's brought Vikings as a word back into kind of the mainstream media-wise. So I should be thankful. So I'm kind of, I would say I'm not as much of a prude, or not as much as strict as other people can be, because I can see the merit of what they're trying to do. And I know at the end of the day, they're a big film company. They want to make money. They're a business. They're here to sell DVDs. They're here to get it on History Channel. They're here to make something popular and iconic and be successful. But if they're successful, other people can be successful too, you know, within the shadow of what they're doing. So you kind of have to weigh it up and go, okay, well, there are a lot of positives to this and they are trying. So let's roll with it. Let's work with them rather than against them.
As someone who loves and is passionate about the culture and the people and the history of Viking lore and legend, what are your hopes for Viking culture for the future?
The future of the Viking world, I would love to see a movie and TV series that was accurately portrayed of that time period. And I would very much so love to see more Viking events worldwide, and I suppose more notoriety to the Viking culture developing around the world, because I believe it has also a strong honor culture to it and a strong honor society. And they traded and they negotiated with lots of different cultures around them. And I believe that it would do a lot of good for people that feel lost without an identity.
Mm-hmm. So a proper TV show or a proper movie based on...
I think something that, you know, could have been about the Varangian Guard, the Vikings that traveled to Turkey and served the Greek Emperor, would be a great one. I'd love to see something about that, or I'd love to see something about a movie about Harald Hardrada, you know, who served in the Varangian Guard, then became the King of Norway, or about the heathen invasion of England, where Viking kings attacked the Saxons in a big heathen pagan army of like 20,000 men, just one day charged in giant longships and attacked the Saxons in England. And there was a huge, you know, and this beautiful history that a lot of people don't know about. That is what I would like to see.
That was Max Bracey, founder and owner of the Viking Store and overall expert on all things Viking. Do check out the store's website over at thevikingstore.co.uk and also on Facebook over at facebook.com/thevikingstore. Of course, to get this podcast and previous Going Global podcasts, including an interview with Singaporean art gallery and marketing agency Cult, or my chat with Inoki Chan, heavy metal enthusiast and owner of Inoki Records, head on over to bfm.my. This is Arvind Yuvraj, and I'll catch you next week on another edition of Going Global. Remember, let bygones be qui-gons and have a safe weekend, amigos. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.